It is 4:32 here at WCHL. Aaron Keck with you this afternoon. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, we've got Tar Heel Sports, primetime in the ACC with Dave Nathan immediately following the evening news. Mark Dorson of the Orange County Board of Commissioners coming up at 5:30 to talk local government. After that, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see My Fair Lady at Playmakers. All of that is in the future. And speaking of the future, we've got Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library here in the studio to talk about the future. Hi.
Beep, beep, boop, boop.
And that's our show. Good night, everybody.
That's how robot Susan Brown will talk in the future. Or she will talk like this.
I have no idea what is going to happen whenever you come into the studio.
It sounds like the Simon game my dear children play over over and over again. Beep, boop. This is a great radio right here. Hello!
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
We're here to talk about the future because we've got a cool thing coming up at the library that we're going to talk about in a second. You wanted us to open with She Blinded Me with Science, but we've already...
Science!
We already used that for Common Science with Jeff Danner, so I had to find another one.
Oh, it's been done.
Yeah.
So Space Ground Control to Major Tom. That's
cool,
man.
There's this really cool... PasteMagazine.com has this ranking of the top 15 songs about science. Including Rocket Man, which I almost went with.
That's a great one.
Yeah, Space Oddity, obviously. There's this minute and a half song called The Elements by Tom Lehrer, which is set to the tune of I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General.
Right.
But he just lists all of the elements in the periodic table.
That's
and
awesome.
In a minute and a half, he like covers them all. So... I almost played that one.
And I feel like they might be giants.
They might be giants. Had
right?
a whole album about science.
Yeah, right.
This also includes the Bare Naked Ladies song, History of Everything, which is the theme song from the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Right? And a whole lot more. And She Blinded Me with Science, but I had
science!
To skip over that one. Science! And that's our show. Good night,
really?
Everybody.
I mean, this is the episode. We often say this. This is the episode to submit to the... Radio awards.
Yeah, the radio awards. The radies, as they're often called. We'll definitely be doing that. Okay, so there's an event coming up at the library. It's called Future Imperfect. We sort of hinted at it last week, but a couple of weeks ago.
Before that, I want to talk about something else.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to talk about science fiction in the future and the awesome event. But just before I came over here,
yes.
I was hanging out in the men's room at the library.
Boom, General Assembly.
That's not weird at all, is it?
No.
And... there were reports of writing on the wall, so I went in there, and there is indeed now, as of this afternoon, writing on the bathroom walls at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Okay.
It's sanctioned. We wanted it to happen. I was in there to bask in the delightful experience that is now the public restrooms at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
So you've got an officially sanctioned, poetry wall to
We don't
write?
Have a poetry wall. So we have been working for the last couple years on thinking about the user experience at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Right.
So it's this UX thinking that comes out of the web design world, and it's about all the things. And one of the key tenets of it is everything is a touch point. So it goes beyond customer service, your parking lots, how you shelve your books, your customer service, all of that, the temperature of your building. Those are all touch points that go into the user experience, including the bathrooms.
Yes.
So we did this, all of these UX projects, many of which we've talked about. We moved our books. We rethought our lobby. We're doing all of these things.
UX is user experience,
right? User experience,
right?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So our bathrooms, we did a $16 million renovation and expansion. It's awesome. It's beautiful. But they really didn't touch the bathrooms. They were still kind of gray and sad and gray and sad.
Yeah.
So we
actually, you could do really cool stuff with public restrooms. If you go to a nice restaurant, and you go in, the bathrooms are all fancy, and they got the towels that you...
City Kitchen has a pretty fancy bathroom,
yeah, they've got
with
really
the cool
good ones.
Sinks.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So we
it
couldn't go that fancy.
Okay.
So we did a couple things. We solved some real problems. There were problems with the paper towel dispenser, and there was always trash on the floor, so we got some new trash cans. We fixed the faucets because they were always spreading out water. So we fixed some of the problems, but then we still had these gray, sad walls.
Right.
So we painted them this beautiful bright green.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really bright. And some people said, I love the green. And some people said, it's a lot of green. So then we thought, what else could we do in the bathrooms? So we, of course, in the last year or two, launched a new mission statement, Sparking Curiosity, Inspiring Learning, and Creating Connections. So a couple months ago, we said, hey, users and community, what are your favorite quotations that might tie back to that? And we got a whole bunch of stuff from
folks. Tie back to what?
To our mission.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what are your favorite bathroom-related literary quotes? Okay,
to
back
our mission.
To the mission. Okay, that makes
sense. And we got
some
awesome quotes. And then we chose some, and we had a vinyl company come and put up quotes in our bathroom that reflect our mission.
Cool.
So if you go to our Facebook or our Twitter right now, you can see some of them. So many of them are sort of directly tied to our mission. So they have words like curiosity or learning. And then we also decided to include a few local authors.
Yes, indeed you did.
So
I may have just cracked up because I just went to the Twitter account and saw what you posted.
Yeah, we want every experience to be delightful. Every single one, including this one. So for example, if you go in the lower level men's room at the library, you have this wonderful quote, "The ending is always a surprise." From our dear Daniel Wallace.
Daniel Wallace, yep.
We have a Sarah Dessen quote. There's also quotes from folks like Toni Morrison and Khalid Hosseini. So these are all things that people submitted, and then we added a few local authors. But you can check it out on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also check it out the next time that you're in the library. These are in all of the men's and women's rooms, upstairs and downstairs. We haven't done the children's family restroom yet, but this just went up today, so I thought that I would lead by saying, I just thought that it would up our submission to the radio awards if
there
I said I was hanging out in the men's room. That's a great lead-in,
that's
right?
A good lead-in.
It's a great hook and catch.
And let me wrap up by saying that if you're in the Chapel Hill Public Library, you should go into the bathroom and check this out, and you should go into both of them, because if you only go into one, you'll miss half of the fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And we actually contacted Sarah Dessen. So the Sarah Dessen quote is in the men's room.
Yes.
So somebody said, do you think she'll care? And I said, well, we can ask
her.
She's in there all the time. Sarah's pretty awesome. So we emailed her, and not only did she not care, she said something like, this is why I love my library. You guys are nuts.
Yes.
And she said that her dad, who's also often in there, would really enjoy seeing his daughter's quote in big vinyl letters in the men's room.
So when you say she should be fine with that, she's in there all the time. Are you referring to the library or the men's room in the
library? I don't know. I did not ask her that.
I
know she's in the library often. I'm not sure what section she might be in or what rooms. I just know she's there.
If Tim Moore is listening to this, his head is exploding. And if that happens, you're welcome, Chapel Hill.
I just got confirmation.
More?
Okay, I was waiting to tell this story.
Okay.
And I just got confirmation from Daniel Wallace himself.
Oh, nice.
Okay. This is
the
greatest story ever.
Uh-huh.
I hope you're listening, Daniel Wallace. Maybe he'll call in if he is. I don't even know. Okay, so we did this project. We may not actually talk about science fiction.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, this is
a great
story. We're
supposed to be talking about science fiction today.
Right.
Susan comes in and says, we need to wrap up quick because I need to be somewhere at 5. And then, like, the first thing out of her mouth is beep, beep, boop, boop. And I know that this is not going to be a 5-minute show.
This is the best. This really is. This is the best. Okay, so we got some quotes from the community.
Mm-hmm.
We knew what we wanted to do. And then we have this fabulous intern working. Oh, we have many fabulous interns, but there's this one gal named Sydney. She's a UNC student. She's great. So we said, hey, Sydney, and she wants to work in publishing and all of this. So we gave this project to her. We said, here's like 55 quotes. We need to pick like 6 or 8.
Right.
So she curated the list. And then we said, how about adding in some from local authors? So she pursued that, and she came back to us with these two, one from Daniel, one from Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I mentioned, somebody said, maybe we should ask them. So I reached out to Sarah, and I told you what she said.
Yes.
Now, Daniel Wallace's quote that's up on the wall now, the ending is always a surprise, Daniel Wallace. So we had the intern, Sydney, had assured us she had vetted all of these and, you know, checked them.
Right.
So I said, great. So I shoot off an email to Mr. Wallace, and I said, Mr. Wallace.
How are you?
Yes, hello. And I said, this is what we're trying to do. Are you okay? He said, I think it's fabulous. However, That's not a line from Big Fish the book. That's from the movie. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes.
So I said, okay, so sorry to take up your time, big Mr. Local Famous author. So I went back to Sydney the intern and I said, Sid, by the way.
We're going to have to put quotation marks around Daniel Wallace on the wall.
Well, right? So she's like, well, I did check them. And I was like, I don't think so, honey, because author versus intern, author wins when he says it's not his line.
Right.
She's like, huh. So within like 20 seconds, she sends me a text with a picture of Big Fish open to like chapter 7, where the quote is, the ending is always a surprise.
Oh, Daniel. Oh, D-dubs.
Oh, in the hands of a lesser or greater person, I'm not sure which.
That's
perhaps
awesome.
This all would have been resolved quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I was like, oh, Sydney. Oh, thank you. And I had the great pleasure of engaging with local author man about
Yes.
All those people you've told, if this happens all
the time. How many times has he said that?
And we are the one who cracked the case.
Oh, that's great.
That's us.
That's
so great. So, yes, many, many emails have passed back and forth. I took great pleasure in doing this. So not only are our bathrooms more delightful, Daniel Wallace now has a firmer command of his canon.
Yes.
Right? He's now much more familiar with his...
This isn't one of those, misattributed quotations that aren't exactly right. Like, we thought this was, and now, no, this is actually mine. I came up with this.
I'm pretty darn brilliant.
To heck with you, rando screenwriter who wrote Big Fish the movie.
So there you have it.
That's great.
And I didn't want to tell that. I almost just came in and told the story, but then I checked with him, and he said, oh, yes, please do.
That's awesome. I love it.
In addition to being a big, famous, fancy pants author, he's a good sport and a dear person.
That's really cool.
So there you have it. So check out the bathrooms.
John August wrote the screenplay of Big Fish.
Of course he did. He's not some rando author.
That's a really good movie, too.
It is.
So I had to credit the screenwriter, too.
And Wallace has a new book coming out soon.
Nice.
And I just, for all of the grief, perhaps I told him if he gave me a galley, I wouldn't tell this story. Ooh, I got the galley and I told this story, but I have an advanced copy of his next book.
Nice.
And it's pretty darn great.
That's awesome. I have no doubt. I look forward to it.
I'm not saying that because he paid me.
Okay.
I mean, he did pay me. No, he didn't pay me. The book is great.
Susan beep, Brown beep, here, exploding norms and mores left and right. Cool. So let's talk about the future.
Science fiction. Let's
yes.
talk about the future
yeah.
in which we no longer have a radio show. Okay. So what is happening? Why on earth would we be talking about the future? Because, as I mentioned last time.
In the future,
2 days from now.
Yes.
Which makes me think of the Conan thing in the year 2000.
Oh, yeah. Which they still do sometimes.
In the very near future.
In the year 2000.
Yes. Yeah. In the year 2017, on Friday, April 14th at 7 p.m., it's the first of a two-part series called Future Imperfect. So this is a partnership. We are part of the NC Science Festival, which is a statewide science festival that is happening all over the place, all over the state. And we
culminating a week from Saturday with the big thing on Cameron
the
Street,
huge,
which
yeah.
I think I might be at. We'll see. I'm not sure
it's
yet.
Super fun. I took my kids last year. We'll probably go again
it's
this year.
It's super fun, yeah.
So what we are doing, we are partnering with our dear friends at the UNC Program in the Humanities, which is a great, they do humanities, public-facing humanities programming, and we are having two series called Future Imperfect, and it's all about what science fiction tells us about now, how they thought it was then, how does science fiction film especially inform our conversations, deviate or align with conversations about things like others, refugees, robots, technology. So this Friday at 7 p.m., so it's after hours on a Friday night at the library, which is pretty cool, 7 p.m., the first of the series is called Refugee. So it's Future Imperfect Refugee Anxiety.
Cool.
And so they will be showing clips from Children of Men, District 9, and
yep.
then the fabulous folks from the program in the humanities will lead a discussion about what we're seeing and what's happening now and how it all knits together.
Awesome.
And then the follow-up is next Friday, which is about humans and machines and things that say Beep, 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 boop, boop. They're going to be really great. This is a new type of program for us, so we're super excited. The people at the program in the humanities are great. Yeah.
Cool.
So, come to that in the very near future.
So this coming Friday and then next Friday, same time, 7 o'clock both?
Yes.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome.
Very cool. Awesome. All
books?
Right. So
are we going to talk about
science
books?
Fiction books? We got to recommend science fiction books. You go first.
Okay.
I have none.
Oh, I've got lots.
Okay, good.
Thanks to my husband who's been texting me when
Ooh.
I told him what our prompt was.
Nice.
So I'll just say, my husband is not a science guy, but he loves reading science fiction.
Okay.
And he's nerdy in other ways. So he also, a couple years ago, started reading the Hugo winners, which are the science fiction, the annual
right.
award for the best science fiction writing, but he started reading them in order. So, like, the first Hugo award was given in, like, the late 50s or early 60s,
right,
and he's
right.
that kind of a nerd.
Oh,
where
wow.
He's like, I'm going to read the first one and read them in order.
In the future, we're going to have color television.
So, here are some things that he recommends if you want to go back. So
all the way.
This
okay.
isn't recent science fiction. This is older science fiction, which is always fun to read because then what came true, what didn't, was their vision similar?
Yep.
So one that he highly recommends is the 1969 Hugo Award winner called Stand on Zanzibar. And he says, overpopulation problems, genetic engineering, mm-hmm. corporate takeovers of foreign countries. Oh, yeah, and ordinarily academic types like myself are expert assassins.
Ooh.
It's set in 2010.
Nice.
So Stand on Zanzibar comes recommended. The author is John Brunner. The other one that he recommends is the very first Hugo Award winner, 1953, is called The Demolished Man by Alfred Bester.
All right.
And then he also recommends for folks who are currently binge-watching the Amazon series The Man in the High Castle to, of course, go back and read Philip K. Dick. So you had to do no work for this show
That's
today.
Good.
I had to do very little, and thanks to my husband for providing.
You're fine no matter what.
Daniel Wallace and my husband, James Brown, carried the show today.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I got to recommend one, though.
Do it.
Because you mentioned, like, overpopulation with Stand with Zanzibar. I was going to recommend something by Kurt Vonnegut. I have Cat's Cradle written down. But no, you should read Cat's Cradle. But Welcome to the Monkey House
oh,
is
yeah.
his collection of short stories. They're hit or miss, but the really, really great ones, the title one, Welcome to the Monkey House, which is about overpopulation and what societies do with it. Harrison Bergeron, Epicac, however you pronounce it.
Epicac,
probably.
Yeah.
Is a really good one. There's so many great. There's a short story of letters exchanged between a Russian and an American parent of Russian and American astronauts who were up in space on this humanitarian like joint forces mission, and then there was a tragedy and they both died, so the parents are writing letters to each other. That's a great story. It's funny, it's poignant, it's a lot of science fiction, and it's really, really good. And if you like Kurt Vonnegut and you haven't read Welcome to the Monkey House, you should. If you haven't read any, it's a good place to start.
Right on.
There
way to go. And
cool.
And a great place to start with our two-part series is this Friday night with part one
at 7 p.m.
There you go.
All right. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks, bye.
It's 4:50, back with the Osgood Files next.
Hi, I'm Sandra.
And I'm Charlotte, and we're here to tell you about some big...